Okay, so let's continue. So he says that every single bit of ma'aseh that a person does will be included, you know, it's part of the din, and nothing goes lost from the din. There's a famous story with the mother, and he's writing this letter to the mother, to his own mother. So it happens to be on this topic, a very famous story with the mother of the Gra, that she made up with a friend of hers, Bitzkias Kas, that whoever dies first will come back to the other one and drink. So I don't remember, I think that the friend died first, and they did not want her to come back down because she did a Bitzkias Kas. So therefore, they allowed her to come down and tell the mother of the Gra one thing. So she comes down in a dream and she tells her that there's tremendous din in Shemayim and every ma'aseh that you do. So she said, okay, I understand that. She said, no, let me give you an example. He said, remember that time that we went collecting for a Yosayma, for a Chasana, and we went and knocked on the door of a certain person to get money from them. Yeah, I remember. I remember they weren't home. Yeah, I remember. And remember, as we left the house, we were walking, we saw them across the street. And you picked up your finger and pointed across the street and said, hey, that's where she is. And then we went over. We asked that person for money. They gave us money. And we got the schus of the mitzvah. So in that mitzvah, you and I are not equal in Shemayim for the schar. Because you got more schar than I did for that mitzvah, even though we did it together. Why? Because you picked up your finger and pointed. You put in more effort than I did for that mitzvah. And in Shemayim, you got schar for that mitzvah. That was the story to the mother of the Gra. So you think about what the Gra is saying. The ain dibor, no dibor is lost. Never a few dibor cow, and every din and dibor that you say is going to be the din. So you know he's writing this to his mother; she can understand that. Now, the Gra has a lashon here. He says, "Ma umnasay shel adam ba'ilam azeh." What is the umness of a person in this world? Yosim atzmai ki ilaim biyad b'ksiv soysav tshterichai. So the Gra is referring to a Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Petas says that a person should make himself like an ilein, which means a deaf mute person. They don't talk. Now the Mefarshim all jump on the Gemara that why is the lashon of the Gemara that ma umnas shel adam? An umnas is a trade. So why is this thing called a trade? What's your trade? What's your job? What's your profession? A person should make their profession, their job, their umness, that they know how to keep quiet. So the question is, what is that shaykhis to an umness? So the Chabad Chaim in Shir HaLashon says that an umness is like this. He says that when you learn a skill, even if technically you know how to do it, you still don't do the job well. So let's say you have someone who learned Hilchos Safras, not as backwards and forwards. He knows every Tzuras Ha'Ois, he knows every Kutos Shel Yud, he knows every single halacha in Hilchos Safras, and he actually learned how to write. He took a course. So, or someone learned Tekiyas Shofar. He learned the Sugya Mamash really well, and he even read Rabbi Wright's book about where he put the Shofar, this part of that part. He knows the whole thing. Okay, does that mean he's going to be a good Shofar or a good Baal Tekiyah? The answer is no, because he doesn't have no practice. If you never practice, it can't be your umnas. You could have a skill, you could know how to do it, but an umnas means it's your profession, means you've had to practice it. And now you practice, you're actually good at it. So Chabad Chaim said, our nisayon is not knowing intellectually that shtika is good. We know shtika is good. That's fine. We know shtika is a good zach. We understand that it's important that a person shouldn't say things which will hurt other people. And by the way, I was mamishing the story of Achilles yesterday. Wow. It's going to repeat the story just to show you the power of Achilles. Basically, let's see, Reuven. I'll just finish this part and I'll tell you the story. So says the Chafetz Chaim, you need a practice. And the way you practice is by, to make it an umnus, you need to practice it. So that's what the Gemara is saying. It's a lifetime of work to control one's mouth, since the words come out so easily. It's one thing, a person can control what they eat, okay? Because you have to do a mice, you have time to remind yourself. When it comes to dibor, it's so hard. So if a person has to make it their ownness, they have to make it that thing, which is they practice it and they work on it. And it's not just an intellectual endeavor. They actually understand it and practice it and know it and they can do it and they're good at it. That's what's called an ownness. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Beautiful pshat. I saw in the Birkas Avram from Avram Allender that song. So he says a little bit of a different pshat. He says that the Gemara says that you have to teach your son an umnas. You have to teach your son a job, because if you don't teach him a job, he's going to be bored, he's going to have no money, he's going to steal from people. That means the job is the umnas is that which focuses a person. So he says, if a person will not make shmias haloshen as an umnas, that is somewhat of a focus, so if that, it will take over their life, and they'll just end up, you know, totally rampant in this India. It's so easy for it to do so. So the only way that it could really make an impact on the person is if he makes it an umnas. He makes it a top priority, and it's like his parnasa. As seriously as he takes his parnasa, that's as serious as he would take this Indian shmiras halachshon. Okay. Now, there's another pshat, by the way. That someone wants to say pshat, it's miloshen umnas is miloshen by he oimein es hadas. He's the one that raised hadas. So umnos shalada means that the midah which will raise the person, which will migadol the person from that loshen is the midah of shmiras haloshen that a person should understand, even from, you know, from simple things. Okay, now. Now, there is a whole shtickle here in the Gra. He's being very, very strict, not just about Lashon Hara, but even about Dvar B'Teilu. And this is a whole sugya by itself. Maybe we could give over a little shtickle turn on that sugya eventually. But the Gra seems to have a shita here that the issue of Dvar B'Teilu is pretty chamor. Meaning he's saying, he's suggesting to his wife, she should stay home. She should stay home rather than go out and meet people, because maybe she'll end up speaking extra and it's going to be this problem, Dvar B'Teilu. So he seems to be giving it, it's a big issue. So where do you learn the issue from Dvar B'Teilu from? So Pashat Pshat, you learn it from the Gemara says, V'dibar t'bom v'om v'lom b'dvar m'cheir, that a person's main speech should be in Torah. And that's what the girl is saying here. But it can't be an issue of Bittul Torah, because if it was out of Bittul Torah, then I don't think that his wife would have that issue, right? Because she knew we're not having Bittul Torah. So it doesn't sound like the Bittul Torah issue. So again, you have to know what is exactly the issue that he's so concerned about Dvar B'Teilu. So there's I think that it's not an it's a general concept that a person shouldn't be busy with things which are nonsense, things which are pure nonsense. You know, a person engages someone in conversation, okay, but if a person is interested and he's busy with nonsense, so it dulls his mind and it takes away their potential to grow. If a person is focused on growth, then they'll be focused on that. So is that, even though the Gemara is mashma itself to Doron Patalim, but I think it could be more general. Now I'll just tell you that story that I was going to tell you about Rachel. Some woman with my son, it's crazy. So basically, there's, let's say, a family A and family B, and they're mechutanim. Family B now has another daughter in Shidduchim. So she has another daughter in Shidduchim, and the potential person who's going to go out with family B's daughter called the mechutanim, called family A. And they started harassing family A about finances of family B. How do your mechutanim spend their money? Did they commit to you? Did they tell you that they're going to do something? And they said, look, they committed for a certain amount of time to help the couple. And then not a very long time, 1 or 2 years, they did what they said, and that was that. But turns out what happened, apparently this family that is doing research on family B called up someone else. And they said to that other person, what do you know about family B, family B? They said, nice people. Said, well, I heard from their mechutanim that they're really tough with money and that they lied to them about their commitment and they cheated them. All right, that's pretty bad. It's very not nice, you know. So, okay, whatever, I don't know. But then what did this guy do? This guy who's called by the potential, you know, shidduch, he called back family B and he said, I heard from this family that's looking to your daughter that your mechutanim really bad mouthed to them. So now this middle guy, such a rechilus de gemaisa, so he made that now family B is really upset at family A, because he now family B thinks that family A is bad-mouthing them to all their potential shidduchim. And meanwhile, lahel v'nivra, it never happened. And this trickled down to the couple, and the couple was getting, fighting about it. It was horrible. Eventually, I was fixed up, and someone got in the middle and, you know, fixed it up. But this is just, you see, just talking too much and just letting things come out is never good. So that's the problem. Okay, Rabbi Zayi Shakayach, thank you. And we will learn tomorrow. We'll